You're listening to the 405 Exchange Podcast. My name is Ken Grandpierre, and today's episode is with Conrad Soul. He's a singer from Australia who I first encountered just a few years back. He was opening for Jess Glynn and gave one of those performances that you truly never forget. Fast forward to 2018 and he's back, not only with his powerful voice, but a more potent need for being honest. That honesty is conveyed on his latest singles, Come Clean and Healing Hands. They're great pop songs that show that Conrad is singing about experiences that we desperately tend to try to keep to ourselves. Within this talk, we go into why he needed to share these experiences with the world, as well as what we can expect from him next. This is the 405 Exchange with Conrad Soul. Enjoy. So it's great to have you back here in New York. We met briefly 2 years back. I was working with Jess Glynn, and she was playing Webster Hall. You opened up for her.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember me and her crew watching your performance from, for people from Webster Hall, the venue used to have these green rooms to the side, like the
bouncers. I remember, yeah, to the right-hand side.
Yeah.
There was one and on the left, yeah.
And it was one of those things where like we're just kind of like talking, eating pizza and chilling like within your first song, and then like halfway through, you've like belted like out just like some type of vocal. We're all like, what the fuck is that? And we're like transfixed on the glass
watching you.
Do you remember that night quite a bit?
Yeah, I remember. I mean, I remember every show I play, but I definitely remember that time in my career. You know what I mean? It was like we were playing a lot of supports and, you know, just trying to make everyone believers every night. So that's why I was belting out those kind of nights,
yeah.
I guess.
And you were also like on your knees loads, like you were like playing with the mic stand and making it like you were really going for it, like, you know, in the sense that you wanted people to know that this is what you love doing.
Like, yeah, totally. I mean, that's sort of like my whole thing is, first time I ever knew I wanted to be a singer came from performing. You know what I mean? I got off stage, my first performance ever, was at this like charity show, and I got off stage and had like, it was like shaking, but out of, you know, happiness kind of thing.
Yeah.
I had this like high feeling and been trying to keep that feeling for forever.
I'm curious, do you remember how old you were when you did that first ever
show?
Yeah,
I was 11 years old, and I covered When Doves Cry, a Prince song.
No way.
For this charity, the tsunami had just happened in Bali, and there was this charity event, and I'd never sung in front of many people, but it was a pretty big show for my first show, like 900 people in the room or something like that.
Holy fucking hell.
And I was like just a random kid that they got to do it, to sing it. And yeah, from that moment on, it was like I wanted the attention, I wanted the limelight.
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite things when I get to talk to musicians about this type of thing is like I always find myself asking them about what their parents or their friends thought about that transition when they went from, you know, someone who didn't do music to somebody who did. And
yeah,
it always tends to be that the people in your immediate life tend to always have no surprise.
Was it like that
for you?
Totally, yeah. I mean, it was sort of like I was the kid that could sing. I was always sort of the kid that could sing. I had a really high voice. I still have a high voice, but like I was always able to hit notes that other people weren't. And Jeremy, it was always like kind of like almost like a party trick.
Yeah.
And then so my family, my close friends, would always hear me singing. I kind of kept it from the high school boys a little because, you know, it wasn't the coolest thing back then to be singing tunes. But yeah, it was anyone that was close to me, I guess they've always just, music was just what I did.
Yeah, and I'm curious, like between like 11 to like when you eventually started like touring, like what do you think that gap of time was filled in? Because I imagine it's a lot of figuring out what your voice even is.
Yeah, I mean, it's taken me a long time to figure out all of that, you know what I mean? I'm still figuring it out. But I think when between 11 and 16, 17, I was just growing up music. I was recording demos when I could. I was writing all the time. And then I started my band and started like trying to go for it at like 17, you know, like, you know, spending money on productions and trips overseas to figure out how to write better. And yeah, just sort of like one door leads to another, and it's like, it's been a constant journey that you're on,
yeah.
You know, self-discovery, and while you're doing it, you're having the fucking time of your life, you know?
Exactly.
I want to go back to like that tour that you did when you were opening up for Just Glenn, because you were playing loads of shows and you were like opening for loads of people.
Yeah.
And I wonder what it was like for you to come off that and go back home. Like, what was it like being in a place like this and having people in front of you responding to your music and then to go back home? Like,
yeah, it was nice, you know, because at that time Firestone had just come out, the record with Kygo, and my own single was getting played over here on the radio, and at back home they were like flogging it. And so I went home to like a fan base, you know what I mean, because I hadn't been home in a while. And I went back to that was another feeling on top. That was a whole new crazy feeling to go home and play my own show and step out on the stage and have like, I don't know, 1,000 people in a room there to see Conrad, because I've never had that before. It was always an opening act, and like and that feeling is like the real incredible one, when you like can't believe that people came to see me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a nice little, I am doing something right. After years of, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, of course.
When you're with the support act, it's like you're begging people to love you, you know what I mean? Even if you are good, you know what I mean? It's
still, you felt aware of that while.
Yeah, I mean, I'd just come from an Ed Sheeran arena tour, you know, which, and then when played with Jess and played with Maroon 5, and it was like, it's always, you know, it's like you never feel like you're there or that they're there for you, no matter how much you kill the show, do you know what I mean? So when you go back and then you've sold out your own show, it's like, that's the real payoff, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that has to be one of the best things in the
world.
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's actually unbelievable, because you don't, you know, you just never think it's going to happen, and when it does, it's like, fucking, it's incredible.
It's funny you mentioned that a time when, you were hearing your songs on the radio and like that your Kygo song Take It Off. I remember I was in Chicago, I think 2 months after you played that Webster Hall show, and I can't remember who I was working with, but I remember being at like some cafe. Yeah. And I remember like just hearing your voice on like the speaker and just thinking like, it's so trippy, I just saw this dude play a show like a couple months back and the song's already playing. I'm like,
that's cool, man. Yeah, it's always special when you hear yourself on the radio. I don't think that moment ever gets old.
When you look back on the songs you wrote for this upcoming album of yours, because one of the reasons you're sat here in New York is because you eventually have an album that'll be coming out.
Yeah.
I'm curious, does it feel like the songs on the album relate to a very specific experience that happened in your life, or does it feel more like a sequence of events that inspire the songs?
It's kind of a bit of both, really. Like, the last 2 years have been pretty rough for me emotionally, and like, I've been going through a big sort of transition in my life, I think, and I've been changing a lot, and I've been, you know, realizing that I've got some demons and trying to figure them out. And in between that, I was with someone who was making it clear that I had those demons, and I was trying to figure that out, and you know, the breakup with her and stuff like that. So, you know, it was over a course of time that the song, like some of the songs that are on this record, I wrote 5 years ago, and some I wrote 6 months ago. So it's like, it kind of sums up, because this is my first body of work, my first real album. It's kind of like how I feel and what I went through to get to here, do you know what I mean? Like, that's everything from the industry to my relationships I've been in the last 5 years to all the shit I've been dealing with on a, you know, emotional level and on a fucking, you know, the stuff with Come Clean and everything like that. You know, some heavier stuff that I was going through that I talked about, just, and I was just really honest with the whole thing.
Yeah. I definitely am going to want to ask you a bit about that, but you know, when you were talking just now, I was reminded about a quote that I heard Trent Reznor say in an interview years ago, and he said, the weirdest thing about success is that it's one of those things in your life that you never get it when you're ready. You either get it when you're too ready, or you get it when you're not ready.
Interesting.
Yeah, and when you mentioned the aspect of a body of work, I mean, I think back to when I saw you, and I imagine then you probably felt ready to have an album out, and I think that it took some more time. Like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, we're big believers of everything happens for a reason.
We have to be, don't we?
Yeah, but you know, I felt like I was ready then for sure, but I clearly wasn't, and I had a lot of stuff that I had to go through. And even now, like, even just today, like walking into interviews and being able to talk about the music in a different light, because I'm at a different place personally, and I've, you know, I just feel like it's right now, you know what I mean? And I don't think the universe gives you things until you're ready for it, and that's sort of how I feel with this. Like, even though some of the songs were around back then, you know, some of the songs that we think are going to be singles,
yeah,
were there. You know, I played them in those sets, but they have new meaning now, and they're, you know, they're, I'm going to sing it differently, I'm going to perform it differently, because, you know, I'm ready for it.
Yeah, and I think it's very important to note that element of what you brought up about recognizing that you had demons that you have to deal with. I mean, I've been around so many musicians throughout my life, it's something that I've recognized, and it's almost a bit of a cliche, it's so easy to propel yourself within a level of arrested development, especially when you consider what a life of touring is, and like what festivals and all these different types of worlds. And when you think about it, with the last 2 years you had, I mean, I imagine there were live shows you did, but not to like the degree of like doing 100 or 200 shows a year.
Yeah, like physically, I don't think I could do it. Like, it's the thing with the cargo stuff, you know, some of the stories, I don't have to get up and sing one song.
Yeah.
So I get fucked up and still do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I bring that up within context, because when you think about how your life has been the last 2 years, you practically had no choice but to deal with yourself. So it's kind of great that you allowed yourself to do that.
Yeah, like, you know, I think I had to go through what I went through the last few years to get to where I am, to write the songs that I've written for this record, and to appreciate everything in a different way, you know what I mean? Everything was happening so fast a few years ago, and I wasn't present in the moment. Even though I knew it was great stuff happening, and I was appreciative of it, because I always am, but I don't think I was present. I think a lot of stuff was going over my head. Or I wasn't paying attention to things that I should have been. And I feel like that's changed.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for you, of course, but just, I would like to take a wild guess, because there was a big chunk of my life where I was touring quite a bit with other musicians, and it was definitely the type of thing that I looked at, like, this is what I want my career to be, it's all I want to do. And what's strange is when you do that between like 19, 20, 21, like those types of ages, you find yourself so geared towards what you want to have happen next, you're not really living in the moment. Was that kind
of
similar to what you really went through?
I mean, I've struggled with that still, you know what I mean? Like, every day, I'm always like, what's next? What are we doing next? When's the record coming out? You know, when am I going to win this award, or when am I going to sell out this venue, or whatever. It's always what's next, and I'm trying to do that now. Like, I'm trying to learn to live in the moment and be present and be thankful for what I have now, I'm the king of that, man. It's like, what is success? I mean, everyone has their own bar that they set, and I've set my bar very high, so even though I've achieved to other people what may seem a success or things that are cool, and I can see that they're cool, but to me it's nothing on the scale of what I want to do in the world with my music. So it's like, I still feel like I'm here, and I've
got miles to go. It makes sense when you consider, like, we were just talking about the opening slots previously. It's like, what's interesting about success is you could have one idea of what it is, and then you're open to like different shades of it.
Yeah, totally. And that's what I meant by, like, right now I feel like, because I had a big push and then we sort of pumped the brakes a little and then we're going again, I'm more appreciative now, because I realize, you know, that things can slow down and I don't want them to, you know what I mean? Everything moves with momentum, and like, now that we have got a great team around me, a great label, and and the music is there, I just want to keep that pounding the pavement kind of thing.
Yeah. I really want to ask you about the music. Specifically, I want to talk to you about Healing Hands, because to me, that's one of those songs that has a very universal theme and message to it, yet it's so clearly personal. And
yeah,
I always find myself getting surprised by songs like this where, I mean, naturally I love pop music, but I feel like there's always a song that comes around once in a while that reminds you how personal a pop song could be.
Yeah.
What was it like for you to not just write this song, but to like get it out of your system? Because it very much felt like a song that was coming out of you.
Yeah. It was great, man. I mean, Come Clean and Healing Hands were both very therapeutic. Like, I also wrote Healing Hands with Rabel, who's, you know, had his own stuff with addiction and stuff, so we both like sat in a room together and openly talked about the struggles and how hard it is, and for me it was kind of like me realizing that everyone that was telling me, it was kind of like me thanking and sort of letting everybody know that it was around me that stayed by me even when I was being a fuckhead, that I will, you know, that I have the ability to change and I have the ability to be a better person. And now I kind of am in that, you know, in that I'm changing, you know what I mean? I can feel myself changing, and those people are still around me. So it's like it's an important one, because it's like a thank you note to me.
Yeah.
To them.
Yeah. You know, when I was on my way here, I was thinking myself of how I want to ask you this question in regards to that song. And it's the thing that's kind of like, that correlates what I asked just now about pop music, because when you think about it, for a song to be successful, people have to relate to it. But it is interesting how a song could be about such a specific set of circumstances, a very specific set of experiences. Yeah. And is there a sense of surprise for you in how many people can relate to the sentiment of that song? Because internally speaking, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think it is. It's funny, like, I mean, you don't even think about that when you write stuff. I used to think about things like that, you know what I mean? I used to, even with the EP, like, a lot of the songs on there, I was like, shit, is this going to work on radio? Is so-and-so going to like this? And it wasn't just me putting my thoughts out. And these songs are me putting my thoughts out. And we were in Australia recently, and a radio girl was like, I love Healing Hands. I'm actually going through this with my boyfriend at the moment. You know, he just parties like a nutcase, and he's always doing blow, and he's always drinking, and I want him to change, I want him to stop, but he just won't. And I played him this song the other day when we were on the way to the airport, and I was like, listen to this is what I mean.
Sure.
And I was like, I didn't even think about it like that, but there's probably a lot of girls that go through and want their boyfriends to realize what they're doing. And it's just funny, people hear music differently and everyone takes what they want from it. And I think if you're just being honest in the room and you're just saying what's up, the world's a big place, you know what I mean? There's probably plenty of people that...
Well, hang on there. Hang on. Don't leave us hanging. What was the conclusion of that story?
I told him to break up with him.
Did you?
Yeah, I said break up with him. I said he's clearly... I said... Well, I didn't say break up with him. I said, listen, you're not going to change him. He's going to change when he's ready to.
Yeah.
Because I thoroughly believe that, you know, the girl that I was with, that a lot of that the stuff is about, she wasn't able to change me. You know what I mean? Like, I had to go through what I had to go through. I had to come to the realizations myself that I was fucking shit up. And, you know, I'm now here, but she's gone. I don't think, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She could have stuck around maybe, but I guess it wasn't meant to be.
No, but it's relative in the sense of what you're saying. It's like you have to change for yourself in regards to...
You can't control what other people do. You know what I mean? People are going to do what they want to do, and they're going to change when they're ready. And that's what I said. I just said that to her, and she was, you know... She was like, well, I hope he does, but...
Man, well, I was more curious along the lines, like, I wonder, I mean, did she describe to you, I mean, this is almost getting into diverging a little bit, but I'm just curious, like, did she describe to you how he reacted to hearing this song?
Yeah, he didn't get it. He didn't think he was on the same level.
That's what I mean,
you never know, you never see what you're doing to other people, you know what I mean? When you're in those moments and... Especially with drugs and alcohol and shit, like, you change and you become very selfish. And you don't see how what you're doing is affecting other people.
Yeah.
And even when it really does, you know what I mean? And when you finally stop for a minute and take a look around and see what's happening around you and what it is doing to other people, if you have any type of heart, that's when you really think, oh shit, you know what I mean? Maybe I shouldn't do that.
Yeah, exactly. I'd love to hear you talk about how the video came together, because that, I mean, I do photography and video, and I'm always on the lookout for things that are shot very beautifully, and the way that was shot was fucking beautiful.
Yeah, thank you, man. To be honest, it was kind of like, it was kind of last minute, to be honest.
Was it really?
Well, the thing is that we shot a video for Come Clean as well, which hasn't come out yet, which is more cinematic and, like, there's a big storyline behind it. And then we knew we wanted to have a performance-based video for Healing Hands to have my, you know, sort of put my face back out there into the public and just really have me singing the song, you know, like, and, you know, explain the emotion that's in the song and stuff like that. So we got in a cool way. So, you know, the whole, like, sort of behind-the-scenes thing was the idea, and then having the big rooftop scene with the choir, and just, I wanted it to have, like, an uplifting, hopeful feel to it, even though the song's got its darkness.
And does it, like, I mean, I use the word surprise quite a bit when I talk to artists, but I think that one of the reasons why is that I feel like for you to have such a tangible vision, a vision on a song that's tangible, when you see it being conveyed in different ways, yeah. I always feel there must be a sense of surprise. Like, in regards to the video for Healing Hands, like, when you think about seeing all those people at the end.
Yeah.
Like, are you surprised that that works in the context of that song at all?
Yeah, and you know what? What I like about the video is it feels like me. It feels like it's not like the craziest video in the world, or, like, you know, I had other visions where it was like, you know, shoot in Brazil with, like, crazy things that we talked about. But, like, the essence of that video feels like Conrad still, and that's what I wanted to get across. And like that last scene when I bust into the roof and everyone's singing, that feels like something that's authentic to me.
Yeah.
So that's what I love about the video, and I think that's what people fucked with. And so.
It definitely comes across. So naturally, next it'd be good to ask you about Coming Clean and your honesty on that track.
Mm.
I mean, listening to that song, and I re-listened to it just again, like, earlier today when I knew I was going to talk to you, like, I mean, man, the lyrics on that song, I feel like, naturally, I imagine you had some reservations about sharing so much about yourself and what you've been through.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, if you did, what do you think it was that made you change your mind about sharing that much?
I definitely did, yeah. I also just didn't think that people would get it, or... especially at the record label, people wouldn't get it because it was just so to the point, you know what I mean? But it was the complete opposite. Everyone, you know, it was some of their, most of their favorites. And, you know, it's been good and bad. Like, a lot of, like, the press is, like, it's all a lot of people have been talking about, which is, I didn't want that.
Yeah.
But I guess that comes with being so honest on the track. But, like, Come Clean was... even though I talk about my specific problem in Come Clean, like, that song goes back to what I said at the start, like, about not being, like, you know what I mean, like, you can't change people. That's sort of what that essence of that song is supposed to be as well, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I didn't come clean in that song, you know what I mean? It's the lyric is, you make me want to come clean, put down the booze and the cocaine, you know what I mean? But I don't know, I'm not actually clean in that song. I wasn't clean when I wrote it, and I wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, it was me, my girlfriend nagging me, trying to get me to do this thing that I clearly wasn't ready to do.
It's really interesting, sorry, don't mean to cut you off, it's really interesting to hear you point that out, because when I was listening to the song, I felt like I caught on to that.
Mm.
And not at all to belittle what you've been through, but I feel like what's the overarching theme of the song in general, is I feel like so many people who might not have experienced what you have can relate to it in the sense that in the song, it feels like you're describing living like this secondary life.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it can relate to anything, man. It can relate to fucking cheating on your girlfriend, to partying too much, to just it's just coming clean in life about shit that you've been doing that you wish you could stop, but you can't.
Yeah.
Or wish you didn't do, but it's already happened. You know what I mean? So that's sort of like, that's why I think the song is extra special, because it can also, you know, it can relate to a lot of people's shit that they're going through.
Yeah, so with that said, what was it that compelled you to release Coming Clean and Healing Hands at the same time?
Well, I thought it was, they both, like, they kind of fit together in a weird way, do you know what I mean? Like, it was, one, it just gave the whole album a backbone. It gave it allowed me to open up and talk about everything that I've been going through in two different ways. One, just sitting at the piano, me playing and really singing in that, you know, in the way that I do in Come Clean and being brutally honest. And Healing Hands was still lyrically fit with everything, but had this anthem, more radio vibe. So we felt like we had the jackpot. We had both. We had the emotional ballad that we were searching for. We had a radio song that still had the same message.
Yeah. And did it make you happy that you didn't? Because it's really interesting with, like, now in 2018, it's almost like with the way labels and, like, even of any size, like whether major indie, the way in which music gets released, there's, like, such a set type of way of doing it.
Yeah.
And a lot, so in a weird way, releasing two songs at once is almost like a statement to go against that.
Yeah.
Did any part of you feel that way in a sense?
I mean, it's coming back this time around, like, everyone's releasing music in different ways, you know what I mean? Like, whether it's seven songs from Kanye, or whether it's, you know,
or R. Kelly just yesterday with the 19 minutes song. I mean, that's a whole different,
really?
Yeah, that's a whole different conversation. Yeah, he is. That's a whole different conversation itself.
I love him.
A bloody 19 minutes song.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, everyone has their opinions, and, like, you know, the label have their, you know, when it comes down to putting stuff out, everyone's has their own ideas, but we really just went with what felt right at the time, you know, and we knew we hadn't put music out in a while, so it's like, fuck it, let's give them two songs and, you know, start it that way. But yeah, I'm just excited to put more music out and get on the road and, you know, start showing some people again.
You know, just from being here sat with you.
Belting out some of those notes that you love so much.
Exactly. You know, just from being here sat with you, you strike me as the type of person who definitely likes to be engaged with people who are listening to your music. Am I right in assuming?
Yeah, totally.
So what has it been like seeing people's reactions and also talking to people reacting to these two songs?
It's amazing. I mean, it's one thing when people come up to you and be like, yo, I really like your song or whatever. But when I think when you see them at a show, like that's a different, that's a completely different feeling. When some, when you see people singing your songs back to you, and you know what I mean, like you see people crying or something like that, that's when it fucking hits you in a whole different way, that music means so much more than what you think. Because people can tweet you all day and be like, hey, I love your song, which kind of goes over your head, to be honest. But when you see it, and when people come up to you and they're crying, or they got a fucking tattoo on your arm of a lyric, it's like, fucking hell. Like, this means so much more than what I thought it was going to mean.
Exactly. I only have a couple more questions for you, and, you know, thanks for finding the time to chat.
Yeah, no,
I got to talk to you. You know, one of the things I was really curious about, I mean, naturally, I'm sure you're asked loads about the song you had with Kygo, and everyone wants to know about that, but I'm more curious in regards to the experience that came after that, because, like we mentioned earlier, you did some shows with him as well, and I wonder how you felt like that inspired you creatively after the fact, like, after doing those types of things, like, what do you think your takeaway was in regards to your own music and your own writing, or even just life?
I mean, it opened my... I didn't really like dance music before I wrote that song, to be honest. I would never go see a DJ play. I didn't really get it, you know what I mean? It's sort of like a different world to me. I listened to R&B and pop and stuff like that. So it gave me appreciation into that world, because I kind of... I went to enough festivals and shows with him that I saw how that music connects with kids and why people like it. So I started to like it a little more. So I took that away from it, and I took away that behind dance music is really just a basic, you know, a great song. And that's what Firestorm was at the beginning. It was just a piano ballad. It was written, I wrote it for my album, you know what I mean? Like it was just one of the songs that we had in the catalog. So it gave me an appreciation into the DJ world, because they are really just songs at the end of the day, just with, you got great production behind it, and it done in a different way. And it was a great experience, because I got to play venues and festivals that I wouldn't have, you know, otherwise.
Yeah, and like arenas and stadiums.
Yeah, stadiums, arenas, Coachella. Those are all, you know, once in a lifetime experiences. Well, hopefully not once in a lifetime for me, but.
There's wood here. You can knock on it.
Yeah, I'll knock it. But they were all incredible experiences, and it was a big blessing. It was also hard though, as well. You know what I mean? Like you get out there and you sing your heart out, and you get off stage and you walk back to the stage, and the 100 people usually pull him aside and get a photo, and you've just sung your heart out, and no one asked for it. That shit fucking started to fuck with me. You know what I mean? Like,
did it really?
That's sort of why I was like, yo, I really want to focus on my stuff now. You know what I mean? Because I didn't want to be just a singer that was singing on DJ records. One, I think I'm better than that, and two, my ego couldn't handle it.
Well, I think just to be fair in regards to you saying that, I think one of the things that adds a lot of validity to what you're saying is that in a weird way, it would be easier to do that than to put out your own thing and to like stand by it. So
yeah,
it's almost a good reaction when you.
Yeah, totally. Plus, it sucks just getting out there and singing one song. You know, I mean, you get all hyped and then it's over.
I know, right?
So it's been an incredible ride with that whole thing.
Yeah.
But you know, I couldn't be more happy and in a better place now for the focus to shift 100% to what I'm doing now.
Massive. And yeah, before I let you go, I'm really curious, like, what do you think it is we can expect when it comes to your upcoming live shows? Because like I mentioned before, I saw you live, and the way you performed just like, what was that, 2 years ago? That was something else. Like, I mean, describe to me how, and also in regards to that, I would love for you to describe what one of your shows is like, because I could say it, but I'd love what you think your own show is like.
It's interesting. Well, we're still figuring out the set. We were actually just talking about it before you got here. But the whole thing was coming clean and stripping everything back. I want these first few shows, this first American tour and the Australian tour, to be all about the voice. I want people to come to the show and, without sounding like Kanye West, leave feeling like they just saw one of the greatest singers ever. And the room goes quiet. But I'm dead serious. That's what I want people to think. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hopefully they're already coming as Conrad fans, so they're gonna, you know, appreciate my voice for what it is, but I want them to leave feeling like, wow, I just saw a fucking great singer. So in order to do that, we want to strip everything back and have the voice be the main thing that fills the room. So there's not gonna be like a big band or a big fucking explosions, which is completely opposite to what you see at a Kygo show. It's gonna be very stripped and all about an incredible vocal and listening to the actual songs and the lyric content in the songs.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm an entertainer, so like I'm gonna entertain people as much as possible and let people into my world and into my mind a little.
Yeah,
and that's what I want to give.
Yeah, what's really interesting though, and I think it's important to point this out, what you just said.
Is that too cocky, guys?
Your team just kind of like, you know, yeah, but like I think it's interesting to leave off on this note with what you just said. I mean, someone might hear that and think it sounds cocky, but I heard that and I find myself thinking like, wow, that's a lot of pressure he's putting on himself.
Well, I always put too much pressure on myself. That's why I have a drinking problem. it is, but that's what makes me, you know what I mean? Like, I've always done that. I can't give a 50% performance. And I've seen a lot of singers do it. I've seen a lot of arena singers do it. You know what I mean? Get out there and literally vocally give 50. I don't even know how to do that. I've got too much of an ego too. If I have like half a voice and I'm not even there, and any doctor or vocal coach would be like, you shouldn't sing tonight, I'm still gonna burst every vessel in my throat just to try and make you love me. Because that's the type of person I am.
And there's quite literally no better way to end this. Dude, thanks for finding the time to chat. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, cheers, man.
Cheers.
You were there for me when